You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. I'm going to be joined on the program right now by an individual who is looking at running for President of the United States. He is the Governor of Washington, Jay Inslee. He was in New Hampshire yesterday for events at St. Anselm College as well as at Dartmouth College. Had a little difficulty getting to the Granite State, and so we had to scrap our pints in politics with Governor Inslee due to a flight being canceled. He actually drove up, I believe, from Washington, D.C., so that he could make his events here yesterday. Governor Inslee, how are you?
Well, I'm great because fundamentally I believe in pints and politics, so I'm sorry to miss it. But I'm glad you have me on today, and I'm glad that the president's effort to keep us from getting New Hampshire failed and we got here. So we had a great day and two great college visits, very inspired by the young leaders who understand the centrality of defeating climate change and our ability to do so. So it was a great visit.
Yeah, look forward to having you back. We assume that you'll be back in New Hampshire over the next year or so, as you'll be making a formal decision in regards to running for president. And, you know, we see pretty much on a day-in, day-out basis a new individual who is running for president of the United States, or meet with a new individual who's running for president. And I think the timeline for a lot of folks has been moved up as a result of that. Elizabeth Warren really getting things started, but with her announcement on New Year's Eve, do you see yourself having to make a decision here in the short term?
Yeah, we'll make decision in weeks, not months, but we've been busy the last several months talking to people across the country about the ability to grow a clean energy economy, to really focus on job creation associated with clean energy and the urgent need to defeat climate change. And I've been very pleased with hearing from people. We were in Nevada last weekend, where the solar industry is taking off, and at the same time they understand the perils of, you know, desertification. So we're hearing good things around the country, and I'm pleased already, even though I haven't formally announced on that decision. So we haven't been lacking for progress. And yesterday, two good meetings with college students who see this both as an imperative for their health and their decades of life, but they also see it as an economic and vocational opportunity, because as you know, clean energy jobs are growing twice as fast as the rest of the economy. My state, we have the best economy in the United States, in part because we've embraced a vision of job creation through clean energy. So we haven't been lacking for action the last several weeks and really enjoying it. Boy, what a beautiful day it was yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to talk about climate change and that platform in depth here. But prior to your visit to New Hampshire, in fact, when you announced your visit to New Hampshire, you're going to be doing an event at my good friend Paul Hodes' house, that there was a significant pushback from the chairman of the Democratic Party here in New Hampshire, who used very strong language saying that you abandoned New Hampshire in your role as running the Democratic Governor's Association. And I, you know, criticized Ray for that, because I feel that all candidates and individuals should be given an even platform and playing field, and that you should have the opportunity to, you know, discuss what took place during the general election. And even, you know, if funds could have been allocated here, using the term abandoned New Hampshire, in my view, was pretty over the top.
Well, I had a nice cup of coffee with Ray this morning, and we had a good discussion. I feel good about working together going forward, and I hope he does as well. Listen, there was disappointment in this. We wish we could have invested in a number of states, including New Hampshire. I just adore Molly Kelly and got to know her quite well. But it's like when we have a limited, finite resources, you have to make tough decisions. And the decisions we made did result in a spectacular successes. We flipped seven seats. We have seven new Democratic governors. And some of those tough decisions did end up helping elected governors. And, you know, we feel good about that. And this is something that we felt at the Democratic Governors Association, that we had to put a priority on winning the most Democratic governors in the places that appear to be most competitive, rather than thinking about, you know, anybody's political prospects. Certainly, there could have been an interest for me personally, since I had been thinking about this, to help New Hampshire, but we had to make tough decisions for the good of the cause and the good of the nation. And fortunately, we did win 7 seats. And I look forward to progress working with Ray and all the Democrats in New Hampshire. I feel welcome here. Had some great meetings. Paul's Ode's leadership has been just tremendous on clean energy. I worked with him in Congress, and now he's starting a New Hampshire conservation voters efforts with Rob as well. So we're excited about that leadership here.
Do you feel, though, that Ray set a playing field that is unfair for you based upon his comments?
No. Listen, there's disappointment. Losing is not fun. We had some great, spectacular successes in other races in New Hampshire, and I don't think that disappointment in the governor's race ought to cloud that. No, I don't feel that way. Ray expressed disappointment. We're human. I think, as I expressed to Ray, we might have had better communication with him during the process. But I think he recognizes that tough decisions are made. We're going to move forward, and I feel good about that, and look forward to working with Ray and the whole team.
That is the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program this hour of the show, brought to you by Reuben Community Mental Health. In this segment of the program, presented by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. In regards to climate change, you know, the question in regards to the politics side of this is, where are voters going to go in this particular race for President of the United States and the New Hampshire primary? And can, you know, a single issue help an individual to have success on the politics side of things? To me, I think that this is a good issue for you because, A, it's something obviously that you believe in very strongly, and B, I think that a lot of the other candidates are going to be talking about the same things and are going to try to create niches for themselves in this race based upon personality. But I think, you know, for an individual like yourself who's looking to become known in New Hampshire, you can take this issue, which folks care about a lot, bring it to the forefront, discuss it, and then you will become known as a result of it. So how do you see the politics side of climate change outs? And we'll get to the practicality and the clean energy side of it in a second.
Well, I think of it from what it means in our lives and our grandkids' lives more than I think of the politics of it. But some of the things you said are true. I have a deep, compelling passion on this. I've been working on this for over a decade. I co-authored a book about it 10 years ago with Paul Hodes. We started the Sustainable Energy and Environment Coalition. This is something that it's a very compelling thing for me personally and for my family and my state. Number two, it is something that touches, and this is where I may disagree with you a little bit. I don't believe this is a singular issue. Climate change touches everything in our lives. It is an economic growth strategy that is now working with clean energy jobs growing twice as fast as the rest of the economy. It is a health issue with our children's asthma and the health effects of new vector-borne diseases. It is a national security issue because even the Pentagon recognizes, where Donald Trump does not, that massive starvation that drives mass migration that destabilizes governments in the Horn of Africa, now Europe, is a national security issue. So it touches all of our lives, and it is an all-encompassing issue. And importantly, it is one that, without success on climate change, we can't succeed on the other front. So that's why I feel we have to make it a front-center issue. It is not a issue. It is the issue. And it embraces all the other things we need to do in our communities, in our families. As far as what it means in my potential efforts, I do believe I have a unique capacity to help carry this flag, in part because I've been governor of an extremely successful state. We have the best economy in the United States with the fastest GDP growth and job creation growth. And we can demonstrate that is in part because of our clean energy agenda. It's in part because of our progressive politics, where we have the best family leave policy in the country, the first net neutrality law, the best voting rights laws, one of the biggest transportation infrastructure packages, a great gender pay equity. These things all add up to a package of economic growth, and I do believe that's a great story for the Democratic Party as Exhibit A of what happens when you're thinking forward and optimistically rather than pessimistically and fearfully as Donald Trump does. So, yes, we feel good about it.
In terms of the climate change in the political discourse, I feel that that climate change is not necessarily one of the things that and studies show this as well that we talk about all that much and doesn't necessarily register on the minds of voters as one of their top three, top five issues that they care about when they go to the ballot box. Now, as you referenced, it's wide ranging and they care about economic issues, and obviously you could make the argument and a real argument that climate change fits within that realm as well, as you look at jobs and new jobs and sustainable jobs in that sector. But it is not necessarily one of the issues that folks vote upon the most. And certainly it matters a lot to some individuals. Why do you feel that despite what we know, and there's a report that came out this past weekend about showing substantial decrease in the ice cap in Antarctica, despite all this evidence that climate change is real, and I think that most folks, the overwhelming majority of folks, agree that climate change is real, it is here, but then the disagreements come about in how you go about changing it, if you can change it, if America alone can lead and change it, if it needs to be, a global effort, and if we do X here in America, but China doesn't do Y, therefore it doesn't make the necessary impact. So, like eight parts of that question, but we'll narrow it down to two. The first part was in regards to why you feel it doesn't have, and you may disagree, does it have a real resonating effect on voters, A, and B, the what can be done aspect of it.
Well, I'm going to disagree with your premise a bit, because I think we're having a much and rapidly increasing commitment to do something about this problem. And that is borne out. In fact, I just 10 minutes ago read a poll that there's 9% more people who believe it's affecting them personally than there was just last March.
Mm-hmm.
When you see Paradise, California burn down, and I was there a few weeks ago in a town of $25,000 wiped off the map. When you go to Miami Beach and you see where they have to raise their roads a foot and a half so they're not swamped in downtown Miami Beach, when you see the changes that we're all experiencing in our personal lives, this is changing quite rapidly. And it's a lot of things in life. Bobby Orr said, you skate to where the puck's going to be, not where it is. And the puck is moving very rapidly towards people's recognition that we want to and have to act on this, number one. Number two, a thing is happening which I believe 10 years ago when I co-authored this book, and it has borne fruit. We are seeing such spectacular growth economically associated with clean energy jobs that now people are starting to understand this is not a matter just of peril, but it is a matter of promise. And people are understanding the upside of building a clean energy economy. So I think we're at or approaching a tipping point, and whatever the world is going to look like, it's going to be more dedicated to climate change in 2 years than it is today, and we are going to have more rapid clean energy job creation 2 years ago than today, because this is what is happening. And so I think we are approaching that tipping point. Now, in order to make that happen, we need a rallying cry from the White House. We know that this nation responds to a rallying cry when we went to the moon and Kennedy issued that challenge and vision statement, when we defeated fascism. But we need a rallying cry to do that. And we need to have a president and a Democratic nominee to provide that. I'm confident in our ability to do that. Now, why has it taken so long? Why didn't this happen 10 or 15 years ago? I think there's two reasons for that. One is this is a slow process, relatively slow, and slow things that creep up on you. It's like the frog that you put in a pot of water and slowly bring it to a boil. It kind of sits there. And this is that slow process. And number two, we're up against the most powerful combine of special interest money in the history of any economy, and that's the oil and gas industry.
Mm-hmm.
They put in $32 million to defeat a climate change initiative in my state But that is undaunting because we're right back at it in our legislature this year with five bills that in combination will give us the same carbon pollution reduction. So I'm bullish and optimistic about our ability to do this. I think it fits the character of who we are as Americans, which are a can-do people. We just need to get going and have that spark of a vision statement, and we're getting good response to it already.
Two things briefly with Governor Inslee, Governor of Washington, who's looking at running for president, going to make a decision over the next couple of weeks in regards to that, was in New Hampshire yesterday, joining us now here on the New Hampshire Now program. Do you believe that we can change the trajectory of climate change just by decreasing the carbon footprint, or are there other measures that need to be pushed forth?
Well, that's first order is, you know, stop digging the hole, and we need to stop digging the hole, which is to decarbonize our economy. But we also need to think about ways to sequester carbon dioxide that might be in the atmosphere already. And once it's there, it stays for 100 years, unless you figure out a way to sequester it and get it out of the atmosphere. There are many ways to do this in creative ways. One is to sequester it in trees, and the forest products industry is looking for new ways to generate revenues by, in effect, providing sequestration services. Farmers may one day be able to do the same thing to sequester. You know, plants basically take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, use it to make sugars, and can sequester it in some ways in the topsoil. So there are a variety of ways through using natural systems to try to get CO2 out of the atmosphere. But allowing it to go into solution in oceans is not a good way to do it. We have now found out that our oceans are rapidly acidifying because when carbon dioxide goes into solution, it's a good thing that it's out of the atmosphere, but it acidifies the ocean and causes temperature changes in the ocean as well. So we've got to figure out other approaches in this regard.
And a final thing, a political question. You look at this race on the Democratic side, and as we mentioned, there's going to be a lot of viable candidates, a lot of candidates, period. But there does not appear to be a lot of governors who are thinking about getting into this. And although the conventional wisdom is that Democrats and Republicans generally nominate governors more than senators, you look back and see that the Democrats have not nominated a governor since Bill Clinton. Do you think that there is an advantage to being a governor in this race and having that executive experience, and that being perhaps the only governor John Hickenlooper might run as well, but that being one of the or the only governor is going to automatically project you into one of the top tier positions?
I wouldn't say it's automatic, but I do believe having had executive experience is important when you step into the commander-in-chief's position, not only from the experience of being an executive, but also from what you've been able to do. And I am going to be able to point to a record of really pretty stunning success in my state, again, because we have embraced the progressive principles of standing up for working families. And this is important because the sort of Republican mantra is that if you give working people a fair shake, and you provide for individual liberty, and you allow people to be who they be, who they are, and have a tolerant society, you're going to ruin your economy. Well, guess what? You look at my state, where we've protected a woman's right of reproductive freedom. We have the best gender pay equity law. We have raised our minimum wage. We have the richest family medical leave policy in the United States. We've had big increases in our financial support for college students to reduce the horrendous debt they have. We've made big increases in our early child education investments. And what do you get when you do that? Well, you get the most successful economy in the United States, and that's not just me. All governors are proud of their states. That's Business Insider magazine, who said we're the best place to do business in the whole country. And Oxfam said we're the best place to work in the United States. So as a governor of a very successful state, I do believe it's a template for success. I think being from the West is a bit of a new thing, but a heartening thing. I don't think people are particularly enamored with the gridlock in Washington, D.C. I think that they are welcoming fresh ideas and approaches and faces that are outside of that gridlock. And so, we may have a really good shot here, and I'm one reason we love New Hampshire is that voters in New Hampshire really want to look at candidates and size them up and vet them and put them through the grinder and see how they perform. And so, thank goodness we got a New Hampshire primary.
Well, really appreciate joining us for the program. Look forward to meet you in person at some point soon, and we'll talk to you at that point.
You bet. Stay warm.
You as well. Jay Inslee here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1415, nhtalkradio.com. The governor of Washington joining us here on the program. This hour of the show brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health. And that segment of the program presented by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.